to receive a message that the Lord has for each and every one of us on this day. And as you prepare to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 20, I want to just encourage you to remember the announcements that this is a week of celebration for us as a church family as we're gearing up to celebrate Journey to the Cross. We definitely want to do that. And if you haven't received your tickets, make sure today you do not delay any longer that you get your tickets. They're free, but you need to RSVP as we prepare to celebrate all that happened in life of our Savior and that faithful time when he was in Jerusalem. And you don't want to miss it. We'll have it right here in our worship center this Friday. Good Friday service. You want to celebrate Christ Jesus with us right here in the place at 5:30. What time? 5:30. That's where we're going to celebrate Journey to the Cross right here. You want to spread the word and bring your family, bring your friends. Tell everybody come to celebrate with us. And then on Sunday, what's Sunday? Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday morning, we will be gathering in this space to celebrate Christ at 10:45 right here in the worship center. Now, for those who listen online, if you're not looking to be in the worship center, we also have other options in the chapel that we invite you to come at 8 a.m. outdoors. If you want to do it outdoors, we can celebrate Christ outdoors in our park at 9 a.m. in our chapel and at 10:45 right here in the worship center. Do not miss this celebration of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because that's what we're here to do. In fact, you were singing it. I heard you, Heather, as you were lifting up your hand, singing, Hosanna, worship him. We are magnifying him because God has been good to each and every one of us. Well, I can't speak for you. Let me just ask a few folk who have had an experience with God. Has God been good to anybody in this place? Oh, and we celebrate his goodness. And God has a word for us, and I really pray that you would incline your ears, but also your hearts to understand how important it is for us to grow in our capacity to trust in God. I want to challenge you through the word of God, through Thomas's testimony, or rather Thomas's tendencies, that we too ought to examine our lives and identify those areas in our lives where we need to grow in our trust in God. Because if we're honest about it, as good as God has been, there are some places where we still can grow in our trust of him. I say these things and I look for friends as I say them because sometimes people think that I'm speaking exactly to them and really that's not the case. But if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you in this case, then you ought to receive what he's trying to tell you. But let me just ask for a moment, if we're honest, one thing I love about being here in the worship center, one thing I love about this 9:30, this crowd, one thing I love about us being here together is that we tell the truth. Anybody in here will tell the truth. There's some places in my life that I still need to learn how to trust in God. That's really what we're going to deal with in our text today from John chapter 20. You heard it read as the disciples have gathered in a familiar place. And there they are, Lee, in this place. Now, contextually, Cass, you know that these are the disciples who were called out by Christ. Christ hand-selected them. Dr. Parks, you know that it was Christ who selected them amongst the crowd to follow him, to witness him in ministry, to be his witnesses. And then they witnessed not only the miracle, they witnessed that first Palm Sunday as Christ is entering into Jerusalem and they see the crowd singing Hosanna to the highest. They were there in celebration, but they also witnessed the crucifixion. They were there looking from afar as they would see our Savior suffering for the sins of humanity. They were there. They saw him, Bill, as he hung there on the cross, declaring our forgiveness, praying for us. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They witnessed it. These disciples did. And then 3 days later, they hear the report that the tomb is empty. And that's the report that we celebrate. I think some of us still celebrate it, that we serve a Savior who's alive and well. We celebrate that the tomb was empty, but here they are now. They're huddled in what we consider the upper room, these disciples. They heard the report, but some of them were struggling to believe. Have you ever been there? And that struggle to believe. Thomas, in the text, really represents the Thomas tendency that all of us can have. Oh, I see you. You grew up in that culture of the church where, you know, we give nicknames. In your family, do anyone have a nickname that they deserve? Anybody? You got a nickname in your family? Any of you all? Don't look at me like that. Really? You have a nickname that somebody else gave to you? You didn't give it to yourself? I see. Yeah. You have a nickname. I used to think of these nicknames. They're called tall people shorty. And short people, Big Al, and all these nicknames. It's one thing to have a nickname, Lee, that you deserve, a nickname that people know you by based on something you've done. But for some reason, the church has given Thomas a nickname that Thomas himself didn't even ask for. Let me see how many folk grew up in the church. What do you call him? He's what? Doubting Thomas. I can't hear you online, but you can put it in the chat. You know it. We call him Doubting Thomas. To try and explain this characteristic that all the disciples were gathered in this place, but this one disciple was a doubter. I struggle with that nickname we give Thomas. I really do, because doubt conveys uncertainty. Doubt is that I believe. But will it happen? I think God's going to do it, but will he? That's doubt. That's not what Thomas declares. Oh, come on with me back to the text. For if you're in the text in chapter 20, you realize that at first glance, the disciples were all together, particularly in verse 19 of that 20th chapter, they were all together with the exception of Thomas. Thomas wasn't there. Thomas missed Sunday service. Thomas was not in the place. And yet Thomas not being in the place, he missed out on what the other disciples experienced. If I had time, I would park here for a moment, tell you, you ought not want to miss out on what happens on Sunday morning, because there's always a blessing to be had when you gather around those who are seekers of God. You ought not miss out on coming to celebrate who Jesus Christ is in this sacred space. But Thomas saw the crucifixion, and Thomas was not there. The other disciples were there. They were locked in the room. And even though they were locked in the room, they were fearful of what may happen to them, Shannon, locked in this room. What I love about the encouragement of this text is that even though they were locked in, grappling with fear, I don't want to run past where they were locked in. They were locked in, but Jesus wasn't locked out. I wish I had some time here. We're going to celebrate Christ in a moment here. But they were locked in the room, and they were consumed by the potential catastrophe and fear that surrounded them. But what I love about it is no matter what you are locked in, you ought to know somebody right now, say, this is the message he's trying to tell you right now. No matter what you are locked in, I want you to understand that Jesus is never locked out. You may be locked in fear. You may be locked in doubt. You may be locked in trouble. You may be locked in circumstances that you can't find your way out. But what I love about our Savior is that even though we find ourselves constrained by circumstances, Jesus Christ, our living Savior, is never limited by what limits us. No, he comes in the midst of where we are, and he'll be with you, that even if you're locked in, he'll get in it with you. I love that kind of Savior. Don't you love that? That no matter where you are, you're not off limits to Jesus Christ. Do you hear me? No matter where you are in life, if you are seeking him, you are not off limits to Jesus Christ. Jesus steps on the scene, and he shows these disciples, these 10 disciples. Judas is no longer with them. He had taken his own life. We know Thomas is missing from the upper room, but those who were there, those who showed up on that Sunday morning, Jesus showed them his hands and his side. He showed them the marks that demonstrate God's love for humanity. And when he shows them the marks, it transforms these disciples' disposition from a disposition of fear to now a demonstration of faith. They are celebrating him. And if you're honest, whenever you run into, encounter Jesus Christ, whenever you have a real experience with God, it's transformative. It'll change your life. It'll change how you see your circumstances, that you no longer see them as a circumstance of burden, but you see them as a set up for God to do a blessing. I'm preaching up in here. I don't know if you're listening here. That no matter when you encounter the love of Christ and you see circumstances and you really know who God is and the power of God, then you're able to tell your circumstances to look at your God, because your God is always greater than your circumstances. They realized it when they saw his hands and they saw his side. But Thomas was not there. He wasn't there to understand the necessity of trusting in Jesus. We are not told where Thomas was, but we are told something in verse 24. Go ahead and look in your Bibles. It says, "Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came." It's right there. "So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see his hands and the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe.'" Before we get there, I want you to see this. Now, Thomas wasn't with the 12, but look what happens. The disciples of the 12 came to find Thomas where he was. I hope you get this, that the group cared enough to not judge Thomas for not being there, but the group cared enough to go get Thomas, to share with him what they experienced when they were there. Did you catch that? That we have to trust God enough and believe God enough that even when individuals or the Thomases in our lives don't come to worship, that we take the testimony of worship and bring it to them. That's really what we did this past Saturday. Just yesterday, as the church gathered in this place and we went out in the community to serve the community for Serve Saturday. I want you to see it. Well, we took the testimony of Jesus Christ and we spread it all over the neighborhoods, all over the community. I want you to see it as we gathered in this place to go out to share with others that Jesus Christ loves all. Now, those of you who are there, will you celebrate? Raise your hand if you were with us a part of Serve Saturday. I see you. The church left the building in celebration of Christ, that those who are not in the building might be encouraged to come in and join us in that celebration. That's really, Tamika, what the group does when Thomas is missing. Notice the text. The text says, though Thomas was not there, they went and they shared with him what they had experienced. You know, we share a whole lot in this world. We share a whole lot of opinions and a whole lot of news, but perhaps we all, if we had the same dedication to share what Jesus has done and is doing, others might want to come and experience it. I want you to see it in the text, because now, because they've shared, Thomas is with them the next Sunday. We're right there. He's with them, and they're locked in the room again. But notice here, they're locked in the room where they had last been with Jesus. I hope you catch this. That Seth, they are still in the same place, and now this time, Thomas is with him. And Thomas makes this declaration not of doubt, but as Christ says, of disbelief. But Thomas says, unless, you see it right there? Unless I see his hands and the mark of the nails and place my finger into his side of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. Thomas makes a choice, because here's the truth, saints of God. Those areas of our lives where we choose to not trust God is the same condition that Thomas is exhibiting here. That when we celebrate the power of the resurrection and we celebrate who Jesus Christ is, we celebrate that God has moved in our lives and has saved our lives, sometimes we fall victim to not trusting God. Though we trust him in belief, we don't always trust him with everything that happens in our life. Can we talk real talk for a moment? He made a choice to not believe. What areas in your life is God challenging you to release the reins and release the controls and submit to trusting in him? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with, you know the word, don't you? With all your heart. Not a fraction of it, not 3/4 of it, but with all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, give him the attention, give him the credit, and he shall direct your path. He'll make your pathway straight. But if we're honest, there's some things in our lives, people in our lives, perhaps even family, that we are not trusting God enough with in our lives. Thomas makes this decision, but here's the reality, saints of God, that I want you to get, is that encounters with Jesus will get you to a point where you have to decide to trust entirely. Because here's the question. Are you going to trust God or not? Are you going to trust him or not? Thomas is with the 12. And I love this. He's locked in with them. And he's together with the saints. And even though Jesus again enters in this locked space, he comes and he extends to them, it's right there, peace. That even if you're in a situation that is unchanged, Jesus can still give you peace. I hope you see that. They're still locked in. They're still huddled. They still have their concerns. But when Jesus comes into the locked space, now Thomas is here, Jesus gives them shalom. He gives them peace, the kind of peace that surpasses all understanding. Have you ever been there before where others say it doesn't make sense that you are at peace? It doesn't make sense that you're not worried about the conditions of the world. It doesn't make sense that you are not staying up late at night. But I learned a long time ago from my grandfather, who said to me, he said, listen, Jesus never sleeps or slumbers. So since he's going to stay up, I'm going to rest. Here it is, the reality that when you have an encounter with Jesus, a real encounter, he can give you which means then that if we're not experiencing peace, perhaps it's time for us to have another encounter with him. If we're holding ourselves tightly tethered to our problems, that our problems are magnified in front of us, that we're making the choice that I'm going to trust God with this on Sunday, but on Monday, I don't know if I can trust God with this, then all we're going to see is our problems. But when you get to a point where you look and you see that God has stepped into the situation with you, he will show you that he cares about you. I hope you see this, because Christ cares for you. And when you look at the text, when he comes in the text, he comes back for Thomas. Do you see it here? He enters the scene to help Thomas grow in his belief. And even now, Jesus, the Spirit of Christ, is here, and he's entered here to help you with your unbelief. Thomas is there, and Jesus speaks to Thomas, and he says, put your finger here and see my hands. Verse 27, put your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve. Do you see it there? But believe. He calls him to a point of decision. That when you see all that God has done through Christ Jesus, when you look at the cross and remember his love for all humanity, he compels us to make a decision. Will you trust God who loves you enough to die for you? Will you trust God who loves you enough to provide a way for your forgiveness? Will you trust God who's willing to enter into the spaces of your life and show you that he indeed is the light of the world? Will you trust him? Or will you stay tethered to the trouble that you experience in life? When Thomas sees the Lord, when he sees his hands and he sees Christ living in front of him. Look at verse 28. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. When you're at that place where you see God for yourself, that Jesus would love you enough to reveal himself to you, here's the reality. If you desire him, he'll show up for you. If you seek him with all your heart, Jesus will enter your life and you'll have an encounter that will change your life. You're looking at me like you need a reminder. Well, it's not just Thomas had an encounter with Jesus. There's somebody in here who can testify that I was despondent. I was disappointed. I didn't know what was going on, but Jesus came in my life and he transformed. Anybody in here, you ever encountered the love of God and it transformed your life? That you were like Thomas and you said, my Lord and my God. Because here it is. If you truly want to move from skepticism, from fear, to a place of faith, you got to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That he is Lord of all, through all, and in all. That when you come to him, when you believe in him, when you trust him, that he'll make a way out of no way. He'll make sure that you get to see his love. And even if you can't explain it, he'll give you the kind of grace that will keep you in it while you're going through it, because he is in it with you. Because in Christ is the power. The power to transform lives. The power to rescue you, even from your own self, your doubts and your fears. He has the power to transform. But we must choose to trust in him. And when you see the power of God at work, the question always remains, Dr. Walneen, will you trust him? When you going from Sunday to Monday, will you trust him? When children are not aligning up with how you're training them to be, will you trust him? When chaos is happening all around you, will you trust him? Will you be able to say like Thomas, my Lord and my God? Because when you see the power of God on display, the magnitude of his love for all humanity, with all that God has done and continues to do, with the greatest expression of God's love for you, that while we were yet sinners, Christ, our Savior, died for us. He died for you. That our Savior Christ then arose from the grave and he's coming back for you. When you see that on display. The question that always begs answering is, will you choose to trust in him? Will you choose to trust in him? Because he is worthy. Did you hear me? He is worthy. And as we prepare to celebrate his love, I want to challenge you to identify those areas in your life where you need to trust more in Jesus. You can get to the place where no matter what is happening, no matter what your circumstances may say, you can declare that Jesus is your Lord and your God. In a moment, we're going to celebrate his love for us as we celebrate together the Lord's Supper. And in preparing your hearts for this special time of remembrance, we're going to sing together, "How Worthy Is He? Worthy is the Lamb."
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.